We are in the middle of Buff Jimmy. Buff Jimmy. Yeah, let's see him. There he is. He is shredded, right? It's Buff Jimmy. He's got something to say, you know? Mm-hmm. That's Buff Jimmy's job, to say some things, you know? The episode 2 is called You Still Have to Listen to Someone Sometimes. Last week was You Have to Listen to Someone Sometimes. This is Sometimes. You Still Have to Listen to Someone Sometimes, right? Pastor Sharon, I have in my notes 3 more minutes of Miley. So, again, I will remind everybody, 3 more minutes for Miley. Just take 3 minutes. I realized this week that James is a 5 chapters. I knew that. That didn't shock me. But I thought I had 5 weeks. And then I went, subtract a digit of the hypotenuse of, I only have 4. So I was like, okay, all right, okay, I can do this. And I kind of condensed chapter 2 and 3 together today, because unless you're into marathon services, I condensed it, you know? I don't like, oh, we're going to go word by word through 2 chapters today, Pastor. I forgot I have to go to the dentist today. I want, you know, yeah. Mm. Disclaimer, when I do that, stuff gets left out, right? Pastor's not leaving stuff out because it's not important. Pastor's not leaving stuff out because it's not important. In fact, everything's important because it's the Word of God, right? So I did realize this. If I left it out, you know what's amazing? You could go and read it yourself. You actually could do that, right? It's crazy. You could. And I recognize there's a little sarcasm in my voice. They feel feisty, Andrew. If you feel, and Andrew, no, you won't even try me. He'll be going like, go feisty, your pastor. Yeah, I was saying, you could bring that pastor up here. But he'd go, yeah, I can see him doing that to me. This morning, I feel a little feisty because I feel like the cricket has been saying something. Jiminy Cricket, the book of James, is saying things and they're not always comfortable. And you have to respond sometimes, right? You get pushed so much, you got to respond. And so I feel like I'm responding today, you know. Say, sometimes you still have to listen to someone. This is not a study, but a stroll through the book of James. James 2, 8 through 13 in the NLT. Yes, indeed, it is good when you obey. Oh, yes, indeed, it is good when you obey. Yes, indeed, it is good when you obey. The Christian disciples' cricket on our shoulder is starting out strong. Right, he's right, all right, like bang, he's in. All right, cricket, I just got up this morning. I only had like 4 cups of coffee. You know, it's just, come on, what are you doing? No, it's good when you obey. I know, it's good when I obey. It's good when you obey. It's good. It's good. Wake up and smell the coffee. It's indeed good when you obey. When you obey the royal law that is found in the scriptures, love your neighbor as yourself. But if you favor some people over others, you are committing a sin. Now, I want to talk about what he's not talking about first. He's not talking about choosing people who have proven over unproven. He's just talked about you got to have proven, you know. Why'd you choose that doctor? Well, he actually has a license. Well, that guy at Walmart might have it in his trunk. He's got all the tools. Yeah, I'm going to go with the license guy. Why? He's proven. Oh, you're proven taking that doctor over this doctor. Yeah, I am. That's my choice. You're right. And he's not saying don't choose your crew. He had 12. He had 3 that were even chosen out of the 12 to be a little bit closer, you know? But it is about, in these next 2 chapters, throughout the chapter, not placating to the rich. Wealthy is not a sign of moral character, and Christianity is not a business. Christianity is not a business. So no sucking up to the wealthy to possibly get something in return. And it's woven throughout the scripture. Don't even try. There's a veteran saint right there, you know. It says, you are guilty of breaking the law, for the person who keeps all the laws except one is as guilty as the person who has broken all of God's laws. Man, cricket. For some... For the same God who said you must not commit adultery also said you must not murder. So if you murder someone, but you do not commit adultery, you still broke the law. That seems like a duh statement to me. You know, when you're a kid, like, duh. Duh, that's, I knew that. Everyone knows that. Duh. Okay. Okay. So whatever you say or whatever you do, remember that you will be judged. Judged by the law that sets you free. Judged by the law that you will be judged by the law that sets you free. There will be no mercy for those who have not shown mercy to others. But if you have been merciful, God will be merciful when he judges you. When you've been merciful, God will be merciful when he judges you. Now, what this isn't is passiveness towards other sins and our own. It's not saying, you blow off sin and I'll do the same, bro. Whoever sin you blow off is like, no big deal. Then I'll go, no big deal to you. That's not what he's saying. Read all the names of God. He's pretty consistent about those things. What is he saying? He's saying, have grace for people because you're going to need it. He's saying, have grace for people because you're going to need it. All have sinned and fallen the short of glory of God. So if you're going to need grace, you better learn to give out mouthfuls of it. Why? Because when you stand before him, you're going to want that grace. You'll be like, do I have a grace jar? Yeah, it's Jesus. He's the grace jar. Say, keep on talking, Buff Jimmy. Oh, wait a minute. Say, keep on talking, Buff Jimmy. They're not very comfortable over here, Max. They're just not. Pastor Jody, think they'll be all right. Nah, they're fine. James 2, 14 through 17. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters? He's talking to the church. Doesn't like somebody else, right? How many love it when he just talks to the church? Like, no, because you know what I'm about to say. Marisol, you're setting us up, Pastor. Say, I am the church. Keep going, Pastor. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Buff Jimmy's getting right to work. Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye, have a good day, be warm and eat well. It's a great blessing. But then you don't give that person food or clothing, what good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. What? Faith by itself isn't enough unless, say unless. Unless it produces good deeds. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. And how many times I've seen, bless God, people can quote scripture over you like nobody's business, but they are misers. You know? And no one else has seen that? I'm talking to the church this morning. Ever see that someone is like, they can rattle out scriptures and quote things out, and they pray like, oh my goodness, that's a Hallmark card. But you see in other aspects of their life, and you go, that don't seem like Jesus to me. Right? We're called to taste like him, look like him, smell like him, and nobody's perfect but him, but it's our job, and this is part of it. We're supposed to produce good deeds, right? Or if not, it's just useless. All our words and all our fancy Hallmark prayers are just garbage. Say, yay, cricket, you know, woo. Pastor, this is a great message. James 2. It's great because I didn't write it. It's so easy to preach someone else's message, you know. James 2, 19 through 20. You say you have faith for you believe that there's one God. Good for you. Now, I know, to me, this reads a tad snarky, man. You know? You say you have faith, you believe there's one God. Well, good for you. Why do I say that? Well, good for you. Even the demons believe this. I don't know how you say that without being a little snarky. Good for you, bub. Even the demons believe that. Bravo, Einstein. You know, maybe, okay, that's a little overboard. Not that snarky. Yeah, tone it down. Mark's like, oh, you're making me uncomfortable, Pastor. I can't do it. Good for you. Even the demons believe this. And they tremble in terror. This next part is real snarky. How foolish. How foolish. How foolish. Now that sounds like unkind words and definitely offensive. Have you ever thought of a situation when someone called you foolish? You went, I don't feel offended by that. I'm actually pretty foolish. Not once, even when I was super foolish. I'm not foolish. I can fly the car. You're foolish, right? I'm just acrobatic falling down. I told my mother that one day. I came in pre-Jesus, all a wreck, and I tripped, and she goes, "You're this." I go, "Hey, I'm not. I'm just acrobatic." I couldn't even admit it laying on the floor. I'm not a mess. Anyone else pre-Jesus ever have a moment? You're like, "Pastor, move on. You know my moment." You know. It says, "Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in fear." How foolish. Sometimes you have to hear somebody. How foolish. Sometimes you actually have to hear somebody when they come up and give you what God has for your life, right in the middle of your foolishness. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? I have a picture, I think, to break the peace here. Let's see. Do I have a picture? Yeah. This is Jiminy Cricket giving it to him. You know, that's not a happy cricket face. He's like, "Listen, Pinocchio, I told you. Told you stay away from that dude and don't do this. And I'm telling you," Pinocchio's like, "Forgot." He's like, "No, I'm tired of the forgot." He's getting into him. And there's other pictures where he starts growing a donkey's tail and a donkey's ear. Before you know it, he's a full-on donkey. No, donkey. Full-on. Say, sometimes you have to listen to somebody. More stuff that you could go read yourself in the next few chapters. He starts to mention a bunch of OTOGs, Old Testament, original, God's guys. And how hearing what other people have in their life, sometimes it increases your faith. Ever have your faith a little bit low, and you hear someone else's story, and you go, "Okay, okay, okay. So you saw God do that in your life? Okay, then I can believe a little bit more." And this is where I'm going to cross a line here this morning. Dramatic pause. Here's where I cross the line. I feel like this year, God's wanting to stimulate your faith in areas you've almost been dead in. I feel it. I feel he wants to heal and touch areas. Finally, that thing that you're really ready to go, okay, this could be your year. And I see him do things in instants, miracles, signs and wonders. And I wish he did it every way that time. I don't know if it's my faith or just not his will sometimes. I pray for the miraculous and see it sometimes. I feel like this year, God wants to speak to those things in our lives. If there's something unhealed, undelivered, unmet, you've been wanting from God, I feel like there's supposed to be movement this year. So it's good to listen to Buff Jimmy. I'm just feeling that. I feel like he wants to remind us of the good things other people have seen God do in their lives and stimulate our faith again. He wants to remind us of the things. Remember the thing in the past, that the last thing you were like, "God, if you just do this, if you just do this, God, and I will serve you. I will eat locusts and wild honey, and I will roam in the desert, and I will tell everyone at Superstition Springs Mall about you. If you will just," and then God does a thing and you go, "Thank you so much. And I love it. And it's awesome. And you're good." And then you just kind of forgot. And then till the next thing, you let go, "God, I remember you did this." Anyone else have had those prayer life moments? Good. I love this church. I love it. I love it. Hearing what God has done for others helps stimulate our faith. Sometimes you need to hear the stories. Like, I know a lot of hard things and I know a lot of great things in people's lives here. Things that God has done over the years that, like, "Oh no, how are they going to get through that?" God got them through and put them someplace and lifted them up and brought them to a... If there was never any good news at the end of a hard day, this would be a tough job. But there's good news. God does those things still. James gives a couple faith history nuggets, deep roots of Abraham and Rahab. You should go read them. And he's repping the Holy Spirit really good right now. James 3, 1 through 2, talking to the church. "Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church. Not many of you should become teachers in the church. Not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. I wish everyone who accepts the call of God or decides they're going to get behind a pulpit and do anything for Jesus or put a Christian bumper sticker on any of their life or before, I wish we all, but especially the leaders of God globally, his church, I wish we all would filter our lives through that on a regular basis. It helps keep you when you just feel like not being kind at Walmart. Doesn't happen anymore because I don't really go. So, just kidding. For we who teach will be judged more strictly. Indeed, we all make many mistakes. All have sinned. There's only one perfect one. Who's his name? Jesus. We all make many mistakes, for if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect. And could also control ourselves in every other way. Oh. But you know what? We can't. Anyone else grateful for Jesus? Can't seem to control every other thing and only a quarter of the time my tongue. And maybe that's an up estimate, you know? James 3:3-5 in the NLT. We're going to do a little bit, show you a picture, go back to it. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. I have a picture. We'll come back to the scripture. Look at that. That little tiny kid leading that giant Clydesdale around by his mouth. This is the picture he's saying, okay? We'll go back to the scripture. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in his mouth. We can also, a small bit in his mouth, and a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever a pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. The tongue's a small thing that makes grand speeches. Ever make a grand speech you got out there up in front of your mouth and you're like, la, 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 and then you realize, I can't cash that check I just wrote. Yo, no. In the same way the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. I actually have another picture. It's a really sad picture. Is it up there? That's a church in my hometown that recently, in the past month, burned to the ground. It was built in 1890. It was an underground railroad for the help slaves during the abolition time to get to safety. It was a cornerstone church in that community, burned to the ground by a little paper and a little arson. Well, it appears to be arson. It's inconclusive right now. A lot of speculation from the homies. They're like, man, someone burned it. And they're like, could be good guys doing it. Like, there's a conspiracy back home. It's a super cool building. But it burned to the ground by a little spark. It made me think how many churches, maybe their walls didn't get burned to the ground, but someone's little sparky tongue took a whole congregation and set it on fire. Anybody ever seen that done? Dang. Yeah. Arson. You know what arson is? It's knowing what will set a fire and doing it. We become arsonists with our mouths all the time. Tiny spark can set us on fire. Say this: I won't commit arson with my mouth. Got two buckets, right, Dr. Heidi? I think you got a picture of two buckets. You got two buckets. Rarely, if the things God's doing something great and it's wonderful in people's lives, throw the gasoline on that fire. Yeah, you go. You go, 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 go. You know, get that fire. Pump them up. Do the things. But, you know, well, I'm much like Pastor Jody's shoes today. Did you like Pastor Jody's shoes? I think we should go over here and talk about Pastor Jody's shoes. He's so cool. Right? For that little spark burning the church down. Like, man, I've seen churches divided over stupider things. Over paint. They paint inside that church. Are you kidding me? It's paint. Go to some countries, they haven't had their church painted in years. P- peeling paint off the wall. You know, been 1,000 years in that church. They're fine without paint. Well, we're going to fight about it till Jesus comes back. Like, give me a break. Use your buckets wisely. You got a bucket mouth. Use it wisely. Is that a good T-shirt, Christian? You got a bucket mouth? You got, no, I don't think that'll sell very good on Christianity.com. I got a bucket mouth. Oh, Pastor. Say buff, Jimmy. Okay, get back on track, Pastor. James 3, 8 through 10. But no one can tame the human tongue. No one can tame the human tongue. It is a restless evil, undisciplined, unstable, and full of deadly poison. Ugh. With it, oh, here's the part. With it, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse men. With it, we curse men. With it, we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. Out of the same mouth, say out of the same mouth. Out of the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. Don't raise your hands, but can you feel that? If you drive the highway, you feel it. You might not say it, but you might feel it. You cotton-headed knee muggins. Man, you cut me off, you muggins. If this were Jesus, I'd be up on your tailgate. You know, I'd be telling you a thing or two, you muggins. Oh, goodness. That don't sound like blessing to me. Well, the same mouth. You just had it on. Oh, glory, glory, Lord. Muggins! Better watch it, Minnesota! Just, I know, Nebraska, I don't know, New York, Iowa, you pick your, you better watch it, AJ. The same mouth come both blessing and cursing. These things, my brothers, should not be this way. These things, my brothers, should not be this way. Blessing and cursing out of your mouth should not be this way. Say, we get it. Buff Jimmy. For we have a moral obligation to speak in a manner that reflects our fear of God and profound respect for his precepts. We have a moral obligation to speak in a manner that reflects the fear of God in our own lives and our profound respect for his principles. And purposes and praise backs. Buff Jimmy says sometimes you have to listen to somebody, right? You know what? I was thinking about that, getting ready for the service on Friday. I was just going over my notes. And I was thinking, God often sends way more than one person to try and keep you from messing up. If you think about, like, God, think he sent me that one person. He's like, man, I sent you like a slew of people. You just blew them off. What are you talking about? And you look back, you go, oh, yeah, you did say that. Oh, yeah, you said that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, why didn't you tell me? I told you 4 times. You shouldn't do that. So sometimes he sends you a crew. So I thought I'd have a crew video to help us remember that how important it is to be wise and to listen to those he sends us. So is the video ready? Please, roll that bean footage.
If you are wise, you'll listen to me.
What do you get from a lot of TV?
You can turn it, Bob. No, they do the whole minute. You're like, no, I love this part. You can turn it in. You bring it down. But he sends you a bunch of Oompa Loompas in your life. Oh, who's that little Loompa telling me what to do? You don't know. I could have a third piece of cheesecake. You don't know, Loompa. Trust me, I got Loompas that tell me, Dad, that's, how many is that? Doesn't matter, it's my birthday. It was your birthday. That's over. How many times, you'll think about in your life, how many times on something you messed up that you kind of regret now, can you really honestly look back and go, how many Oompa Loompas did he send me? Man, he did. And I'm mad, but he tried to warn me because he said, if you're wise, you'll listen. You're wise, you'll make some alterations. You're wise, you'll take advice from Buff Jimmy, right? So sometimes it's important to remember you've prayed for those Oompa Loompas sometimes. And sometimes you got to listen to somebody if you are wise. James 3, 13 through 14. Interesting enough, it opens up with that very statement. If you are wise. Now, sometimes you got to listen. Remember I talked about listening Italian style? You're like, yeah, Pastor. You don't remember. You remember the word capisce? Capisce means do you, I want, what I just said means understand it, never forget it, and start doing it immediately. So, for example, as a kid, like, hey, I went outside and I decided not to do my dishes like you told me to because I want to go play with Biff and Rex and, you know, and I'm on my way out the door. It's like, no, listen, come back here. You will never go out play after dinner and play until your dishes are done. Capisce? Which means, do you understand me? Always remember this and do it immediately. That was an Italian word, capisce. I hear it through this scripture a lot. Listen to me, capisce? Understand, capisce? If you are wise and understand capisce God's ways, prove it. If you're wise and understand God's ways, prove it. Say, prove it. Prove it by living an honorable life. I love Jesus. Prove it by living an honorable life. I believe God can do this. Prove it by living an honorable life. We all fall short. We're never going to hit the perfect label. The problem with the church has been Noah's in the past even been trying. And God's putting a revival, like we pray for revival. God's putting revival in his church. What? To be like him again. To restore things in our lives again. To freshen us up again. To be in love with him again. Right? And sometimes, if we're wise, he's trying to help us out. He says, prove it by the way you live. Prove it by doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. Say, prove it. But. But if you are bitterly jealous, and there's selfish ambition in your heart, seen that a time or two, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. That's not being like Jesus. You know, one of the coolest things I was studying this week, and this word jealousy in my Old Testament, I'm reading some things that are going on, a jealousy problem. And by the grace of God in my life that I was aware of, and I put my kids all on blast, but Kirsten's not here today, and the girls didn't grow up, well, they grew up as teenagers together, kind of Cheyenne and Kirsten. But in my boys' life, I've never seen jealousy between them. I've never seen it, anyways. I've always seen them be the encourager. Now, when they're playing ball against each other, they want to beat each other. 100%. Like, oh, you made such a great shot. I hope you beat me by 12. No, that never was the attitude. Well, no, like, from the, if they're little, you know, even like the whole thing, that there was never, it's always like cheered for each other. As they succeeded in life, they cheered for each other. I thought it was a great picture. And so often, when we see other people get things that maybe we want, we've been asking God for, he may have promised us. Doesn't seem fair. Sometimes jealousy creeps in there. Any humans? Right. This is so helpful. This is good cricket advice. It's so good that I'm going to read the same verse again in the Amplified. Because I know you really want that. Cheyenne just said so. James 3:14 through 16 in the Amplified. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be arrogant and be in defiance of the truth. This superficial wisdom is not that which comes from above, but it is earthly, natural, and even demonic. If it defies the truth, you should be very careful. If the truth is being defied by things in our life, like it actually defies what God said, be careful. Because he's saying that's even a demonic opportunity. And I've been doing this long enough. I've seen it, and I'm currently in the midst of seeing it. Be careful. For where there is jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder, unrest, and rebellion, and every evil thing. Those things open the door for every other evil thing to enter. No kidding. Remember, how did it enter the garden? Pride. Every sin rode in on the back of pride, like, ooh, pride busted down the door, now I can start sowing all sorts of stuff. Jealousy, bitterness, same kind of thing. It said, whenever we allow bitterness or jealousy in our hearts, and we don't hear the cricket going, watch yourself. Cheer for them. And not like fake, oh, I'm so glad you won another gold medal. That's fantastic. Super good. Communication is more than your words. It is tone and body language. For the percentage wheel, talk to Dr. Heidi. Oh, well, bless the Lord for you. I've been praying for healing for 16 years, but you got healed in service today. Fantastic. I'm just saying, we've been in the church a while, right, Hallie? You've seen some stuff. Well, why is Jordan preaching today? I've always told Pastor I can preach. He never calls me. I ought to start my own church in my... You don't think that happens? And the things that happen for those things I've seen just tear the body of Christ apart, and it's heart-wrenching. You don't want every evil thing? Careful of your jealousy ratio. Right? Every evil thing and morally degrading practice. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder, unrest, rebellion, and every evil thing and morally degrading practice. Say thanks for the warning. Cricket, right? Buff Jimmy is doing us a huge solid right there. That's a huge solid. If you ever, like, when I get out of the series, I was like, what, Pastor? I ain't got nothing out of this series. The pastor's up there talking about crickets. There's your takeaway. Here's your one takeaway. If jealousy is an issue, be careful. Why? Because every evil thing wants to go, yeah, right on through. Yep, blasting that door open. See, sometimes you have to listen to somebody. Might as well stay in the Amplified since Cheyenne likes it so much. James 3:17. Woo, fancy, Bob. But the wisdom from above is first pure, morally and spiritually undefiled, then peace-loving, courteous, considerate, gentle, reasonable, and willing to listen. Wow. Anybody have a listening problem sometimes? Especially when you're in an argument? You know what you got to say? Listening is super hard. All the spouses and relationships are going, oh, come on, you know. Shouldn't we raise our hands on this one, honey? Yeah, yes. Yes, we should. Jake's like, mine's not here, Pastor. Well, I'm doing good, you know. Somewhere. Good bathroom break, man. You know. Full of. Then peace loving, courteous, considerate, gentle, reasonable, and willing to listen. Full of compassion and good fruits. Hey, East Side. Say the West Side. Say, be full of it. Say, we are. Yeah, they're full of compassion and good fruits. We are. Actually, this is a body that I see moving compassion and good fruits all the time. I'm not Kekinani, and there's a lot of other amazing churches around our area. Like, I pray for the churches in our area. There's some amazing churches in Apache Junction and Santan. Like, this is a really great place. If you don't have a body, welcome. But there are other ones that are amazing, too. And I know of New Season Christian Fellowship. One of the things we're not perfect in, but I see compassion and good fruit all the time here. And I'm so proud of you all. Say it is unwavering, without selfish, righteous hypocrisy, and self-serving guile. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Wisdom is all that. James 3:18. And those who are peacemakers, and those who are peacemakers, where's your bucket, Ben? Is there a situation you're pouring gasoline you should be pouring water on? Is there anything like you go, I shouldn't have said that? It came out of your mouth like, man, that made it worse. Darn it. I was like, I was quiet. Right at that moment, they went, right? Ever be in a situation with someone and you're like being cool in the argument, like, I'm doing good. I'm practicing all Pastor Heidi's doctoral techniques. And all of a sudden, but I just got to say this one thing. And I was like, wow, blew that argument up. Such a mess. Watch your bucket mouth, you know. Those who are peacemakers will plant. Those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace. Those who are peacemakers will really look to plant seeds of peace during those moments. Those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. So here we are. We are the church now. Do you agree with that? Do you believe we should listen to somebody sometimes? Should the church in general listen, apply proven advice? Yeah. Right? It's a duh. I have to listen to somebody sometimes. And so what I felt this morning in closing, I don't know. Sometimes it's dramatic. If you want to come up and you feel uncomfortable to do that, you don't have to. I can have some pastors praying over at the prayer wall. But sometimes it helps to just make a stand. Not even that you have somebody lay hands on you and pray for you, though we believe in that. And if you're like struggling with something like, you know what, Pastor? This has been beating me for years. And it's emotional or it's spiritual. Maybe today. It says, I think in James, in that song Dr. Heidi plays, it says healing in the book of James. But so far he's only talking about really deeper hurts than just physical things. And most of the body of Christ walks around with deeper hurts than physical things. And we limp our Christianity out as best we can. And some people are just rugged, and I'm so proud of us, but we don't got to limp all the time. And if you've been limping in an area, you're like, God, this is my year. I don't want to limp like that no more. I need that healed. And it could be a physical thing. I'm praying for physical healings too. I've seen God do miracles in this very building that shocked me. Though I prayed for it, it shocked me. And I seen him do miracles without me being involved one stitch. Didn't need me. Isn't that amazing about God? But if you need something from God this morning, I'll invite you to come and get something from him. Just to take a moment. I mean, listen to the cricket. I don't know what your cricket's saying. I got stereo crickets. They're on either shoulder. Like, what? No, I need a lot of work. You know? And so this morning, yeah. Play the guitar. Yeah. Come on up. If you want to pray. Yeah. I got a prayer warrior. This is a good time. And I don't know how many pastors I have that are available to pray for folks if you feel led to do that. But please come up. If maybe you've never even received something from God that you know, I need to fight this thing. Like, in our own strength, we can't do it. That's why he sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in our lives helped us do things we cannot do on our own. There's things that I couldn't say no to. I was trying to serve God and read my Bible, and I was trying to do the best I can. But he sent certain things in my path, and every time, screwed up. I mean, every time. And I felt like going to work ashamed. Man, I thought I was over that. I love Jesus, but man, and when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I got a chance to get a prayer language, and I get to hear some things prophetically sometime. But the most amazing thing, other than the communion with God, the Holy Spirit giving you communion with God, is he'll give you strength to do things you can't do on your own. I've seen it 1,000 times. So, Father, this morning, where there's physical healing needed in this church, from the front wall to the back wall, those that are in their hearts that couldn't even find their way forward because it's just uncomfortable or awkward, Father, I pray you don't have to call them out. They don't have to take always a step. Lord, I pray that you minister from the front wall to the back wall only by your hands, not the theatrics and dramatic actions of Pastor Shaw, but that your word would have its perfect place in their hearts. Whoever healing is needed, that they would be healed again. They'd be set right back into the body of Christ where you'd wanted them to be. Lord, for such a time as this, you want to heal their lives, to put them in place to where they're supposed to be. Lord, we're ready to come back into alignment to see you do works in our lives and in the life of this church and the Church Universal that you've not maybe seen in centuries. Do a work in us, Lord. That your Spirit would, Father, not just help deliver us from the things that trip us into sin, but give us strength to do the things he's called us to do. So, Lord, the only name that has authority in these areas, I say this, in the name of Jesus Christ, be healed. In the name of Jesus, be healed. In the name of Jesus, be healed. Be whole. Lack nothing. Be set free from every spiritual darkness. You are the church. And you're a beautiful reflection of God. This is the year for your freedom. Because the world needs to see it too. So I pray, Father, we would be a church that walks habitually in your presence. We walk, Father God, in your goodness. We walk, Father, according to your precepts. Lord, we walk in. When we stumble, Father God, raise us up. Help us listen, Father, to your voice on our shoulder. This would be the year, Father, where lots of times like that can't be you, God. Lord, let us hear you clearly like we've never heard you. This would be the year. There's big decisions in this room for this year. There are people making giant decisions right now. I don't usually do this, but I'm telling you, there's people, I feel like God's saying to me, there are people today making real big decisions today. Maybe you've never accepted Jesus. I'll run up here right now, and he'll set your life free, and you'll never be the same again, and you'll not only walk into heaven because of what Jesus did, but he will change your life here on earth. So if that's you, if you need to make that decision, come on. But maybe you're making decisions about where you're supposed to move, where you're supposed to go, who you're supposed to be with, your job change. I feel like there's big decisions this year, especially today in this room. So, Father, I pray that you would speak clearly to them about their decisions. Some of the greatest miracles are just a clear, confident voice that you hear me and you care about my direction. So, Lord, I pray for those that need that directional hearing today, you'd speak to them in such deep, intimate, and personal ways, right up on their shoulder, right up in their ear, right up next to their heart. Father, if they couldn't get out of their seat, I pray you go to their seat right now. Lord, if they couldn't, Father, in church today, I pray on the ride home. Lord, I pray when they get into bed tonight, Lord, the moment where your still small voice speaks so strongly to their souls that they feel your words heal them deep inside. Because we are your church, and we want to look like you and smell like you and be like you and act like you and have faith like you, Lord God, and move and see these things happen. Lord, we want to be accountable, and not many of us should be teachers, Lord, and we want to be fair and just and right. We just don't want to be the circus of spiritual reaction. We want to be a church that's alive and well and moving and living and breathing in our community. So make us one, Lord God, in Jesus' name. The church said amen. Amen. I love you all. I appreciate you all. Have an amazing week. Get with a cricket on the stuff I cut out. Read the rest of James. It'll inspire your soul. And love somebody before you leave. Amen.